Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal, and you have tuned into Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, talking all things Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I'm joined by our MSU beat writer, Logan Lowry. Logan, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing better, Parrish. I got to see you the other night at men's basketball. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State played Tuesday night. We got to sit next to each other on press row and communicate a little bit. You know, it's kind of a rarity between you and I. We don't get to see each other that often, even though we work together and kind of do the same thing. It's kind of few and far between when we actually get to see each other, so it was good to see you the other night.
Well, it happens about a half dozen times a year. You can put it on the calendar, man, and you'll know that it's the MSU Ole Miss football game. It'll be the two basketball games, the three baseball games, and then it'll be SEC Media Days, SEC Basketball Tournament, and what am I leaving out here? That's about
SEC
it.
SEC Baseball Tournament.
Yeah, SEC Baseball Tournament. So you can put those days on the calendar. So it was good to catch up, and we always have those impromptu staff meetings, and no event coverage is complete without a halftime text from John Pitt saying, hey, can you do A or B or C, or can you run this down? And so we were able to put out that fire and find a photographer to handle a crisis and get some pictures in the paper for the Wednesday edition. So that was exciting. Wednesday night. Well, excuse me, that was Tuesday night, Logan. The days are running together, man. It happens when you have an NCAA investigation news dump on a Wednesday afternoon. So we have that to talk about as well. Hey, folks, before we get there, we want to remind you about a couple of other podcasts to search for. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast at the Daily Journal that's coming to you every Wednesday and Friday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And check out Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs every Wednesday with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps. You can find those wherever you go to search for your podcast, and there will be good listening to follow. So let's talk about this NCAA investigation, Ole Miss. I mean, that's been, Logan, the dominant story. That's been what everyone wants to know, every question, every time I'm out. When is it going to happen? When is it going to be over? What's it going to be? You know, some level of NCAA interrogation lots of times when I'm out in the public. And it's not over. Ole Miss now is preparing a response to basically nine new allegations that the school released in a YouTube video Tuesday afternoon. There are, in fact, eight violations, eight new ones, and one that's just kind of been restructured and redefined, expanded a little bit. So all of that came out in a YouTube video that featured Chancellor Jeffrey Vitter, Athletics Director Ross Bjork, and Ole Miss Coach Hugh Freeze, all dressed up very nicely and sitting at a table before the camera discussing the new violations. So now they're working on their response. They have 90 days to prepare that and get that to the NCAA. Then the NCAA will come back with, penalties and whatnot. At some point, there'll be the hearing before the Committee on Infractions. I mean, there are steps still to go in this process, but the biggest one right now is the fact that Ole Miss knows what it is being charged with. And that's a big step in getting to closure, whatever closure looks like. And part of that for Ole Miss, part of that response on Tuesday was to announce that it has added a self-imposed bowl ban. Now, the Rebels self-imposed some sanctions back in May when they announced the first NCAA notice of allegations. And among those were 11 scholarship cuts. But there was no bowl ban self-imposed at that time. Now there has been. And let's just talk about those a little bit. Logan, look, man, everybody else is doing it is not a defense here, okay? It's not. And do you think that this is going on some level of impermissible benefits at most NCAA schools, at most power conferences? know, everything you hear and things that you read are things that I've read, and maybe because I've read a little bit more during this investigation, it seems to be a given that it is, but that's not a defense. You break the rules, you should be punished. You are a member of the NCAA. It is the governing body. You have agreed to the rules that it sets forth, and you're bound to follow them. As I look at these violations that were revealed on Tuesday, the most troubling, I think, is the alleged straight cash payment to proposed student athlete B. Now, you know, there are others. The NCAA alleges a violation of head coach responsibility legislation toward Hugh Freeze. You know, it's possible that a suspension or something could come from that for Freeze. All that's down the line. It alleges a lack of institutional control for the institution, which in essence is a violation for Ross Bjork because he's in charge of the athletics program. You know, and those are certainly serious, but those are big picture kind of charges and allegations. You know, when you're getting down to the nitty gritty, and you look at proposed student athlete B, and the NCAA says he accepted as much as $15,600, somewhere between $13,000 and $15,600. You know, to me, that is the most troubling violation. And what do you do with that? Number one, Ole Miss found that a former staffer. Let's see, what was he called? Former staffer A, former employee A, knew about it and set up the meeting with the boosters. Well, they terminated that staffer. If you recall, they parted ways with, officially parted ways with Barney Ferrer in December. And we're just assuming, based on the timeline and events, that that's who former employee A is. But they put Ferrer on administrative leave back in November. And when they announced the firing of Dan Werner as offensive coordinator, they kind of threw that in there in the release. Oh, by the way, if you remember Barney Ferrer, he's terminated as well. So anyway, that's one step that Ole Miss has taken in trying to correct the problem. But, if a recruit, as I look at it from the other side, if a recruit is going to accept $15,600 to not sign with the school, well, then it probably raises questions, or it should raise questions about that recruit's entire recruiting process, because if you're going to accept that much cash and not sign with a school, it's hard to believe that you'd be willing to sign with the next school for free, whatever school that is. That said, complete immunity for the players from other teams who testified against Ole Miss or any other program in a similar situation, you know, to me is a stretch, and the NCAA missed some balance there. I mean, you know, Logan, on the crime shows that I watch, okay, I'm no law expert, but, typically, you see these things play out on television, and there's the lesser suspect, and you're really trying to get to the bigger suspect, and you make a deal. But the deal doesn't typically include complete immunity. I mean, it's usually like pleading down to a lesser charge. You know, it's not like the lesser suspect gets out, you know, gets off just scot-free. There is some level of accountability. And, you know, I don't know how you achieve that here, but I do think that the NCAA missed some balance somewhere with providing complete immunity for those who would testify about their recruitment with Ole Miss. And, so that's where the Rebels stand right now. They're preparing their response, very serious charges. Nine really new ones. One of them, as we mentioned, was an old one that was expanded. But among those, seven level one violations, two that are level three. You know, you get some more transportation and lodging. And, you know, and Logan, that's something else. Now, there's a level one violation there with transportation and lodging, but I don't get worked up about that. You know, obviously, if it's level one from the school's perspective, you get worked up about it because you're under that NCAA umbrella, and it's their rules, and you have to go by those rules. But I'm of the belief that transportation and lodging, you know, these schools that just got a $40 million check from the SEC for the 15-16 fiscal year, if they wanted to provide a little more transportation and lodging for recruits, you know, they ought to be able to do that. You know, I don't know that that's such a big recruiting enticement that it's going to give them an unfair advantage against the Sun Belt Conference or anything of that nature. So I don't get real worked up about transportation and lodging unless it's way out of whack. But, you know, in a nutshell, these are serious violations, and we'll see what goes on from here.
Yeah, there was two things to me, Paris, that kind of stood out, you know, just kind of looking at all that stuff. I did watch the YouTube video yesterday, because I knew we'd be recording today, just to kind of, you know, be aware of what went on and all that. And kind of the two things that stood out to me was, you know, there really wasn't anything that kind of stemmed from the NFL draft stuff with Larry McConnell. And, you know, I got to thinking about the reason was, you know, the NCAA doesn't have any subpoena power. They can't force Laramie Tunsil to testify against Ole Miss. You know, there's really no legal thing that they can do to him. You know, he's no longer under the NCAA umbrella. He's off in the NFL doing his thing. So, you know, it was kind of surprising. But, you know, obviously what happened on draft night stemmed a much deeper investigation by the NCAA and drew this process out even longer than it already had been. And the other thing, too, is what's come out now is so much drastically different than that initial story that Ole Miss kind of spun, you know, nearly a year ago when, you know, they were trying to blame it all on Houston Nutt, and it was all these other sports that were involved. Football was really just, you know, not really that big of a deal. This isn't going to be a big thing, and obviously it is a big thing when you see all these level one violations. You know, it's changed that much. I don't know, you know, how much of the narrative Ole Miss had at that time to, you know, to be confident in itself, you know, a year ago, and where it is now. Obviously they're having a much different tune. So, you know, I guess we'll just see how this whole thing plays out. Doesn't sound like it's close to an end, but it's closer than it was. So I know for your sake, I'm glad that it's growing closer than you know, because this is always, you know, and I've been around you too, Paris, and it always seems like this story is kind of always on the back burner. It's always, you know, right there. It's going to come out eventually, and you're just kind of waiting on it to do that. And, you know, you're kind of waiting just to get it over with.
Oh, there is no doubt that the presentation from the school is different than it was at that time. And, you know, the investigation as it came out last October, at least what was revealed last October, was, you know, was about Tunsil and was about loaner cars and things of that nature. But you knew that that what was not said and what was not revealed, that there was a lot more investigation going on. And, you know, and apparently, you know, the NCAA couldn't find what it wanted to find with Tunsil, but found what it wanted to find somewhere else. At least that's what these allegations would lead you to believe. And I will say that of the nine that we're talking about right now, Ross Bjork said on Tuesday, there are three that Ole Miss is in complete agreement with on the NCAA, but the other six, the school is going to contest and to challenge. But it goes back to what you're saying. The NCAA has no subpoena power, but the NCAA, you know, doesn't really answer to anyone either. It's a private body. So, you know, you're appealing to the NCAA, and, you know, you're challenging these violations with the NCAA. And there is precedent that an appeals committee would see things differently. You know, that's possible, but I think it's unlikely. It has happened before. It happened for Ole Miss before. Ole Miss gained immediate eligibility for Jeremiah Masoli, if you recall, back in 2010, on an appeal. He was not immediately eligible as ruled by the NCAA, but there was an appeal, and it was granted like the night before that Jacksonville State game. And Masoli played in that game, played in the overtime, and played well. Now, the Rebels lost, and it kind of sent, you know, an unfortunate look at what that season would become. But, you know, there is precedent for an appeal going the way of the school. It does not always go the way of the NCAA. And, you know, we'll see where this leads. But right now, Ole Miss is preparing its response. The bowl ban, Logan, I do think it was good for Ole Miss to go ahead and get out in front on that bowl ban because that's probably probably going to come. And you know, I feel like they knew they were going to do this and probably had pretty frank discussions with recruits during that process. So that's a good move, and we'll just see what the penalties look like in the days ahead after the Ole Miss response, because I guarantee you that the NCAA will put its stamp on this. They're not going to invest the hours of manpower and the expense that they have in this investigation only to walk away and say, Ole Miss, so we think you've done a fantastic job of self-sanctioning, and we're not going to add any penalties. That's not going to happen. The NCAA will put its stamp on the investigation as well. So you got out in front of that with that bowl ban, and I think with all of the legal eyes that Ole Miss has had looking at this investigation, that you know, that's going to be in line with the charges that have been brought. But you just hope, if you're an Ole Miss fan, that the NCAA does not say, well, we're going to add one more year to that bowl ban. We're going to add another year. You know, think about that, Logan. Number one, the one-year bowl ban also means that Ole Miss gives up its share of SEC bowl revenue, which would be about $7.8 million. And that's a big hit, even by SEC standards. You know, you get a $40 million check, you know, that's a lot of money. But, you know, even at $40 million, you're going to feel it when you lose $7.8 million. Okay, so they're giving that up with the bowl sanction. If they get one more year, another ban, you know, a million here, a million there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. Isn't that how the saying goes?
Exactly. You know, and another thing, Parrish, is, you know, they said that they would, you know, Ole Miss has 90 days to respond to this recent deal, and then, you know, it's another 60 days the NCAA can respond, if I've got my timeline correctly. If I'm Ole Miss, I don't take 3 months to respond to this this letter of allegations. You obviously knew what a lot of these were already. They had the response already ready to go. You know, they were quick to put out that YouTube video following receiving the letter of allegation. You just want this to be over with, I think, if you're Ole Miss. You want this, but you don't want this to drag through the summer, through SEC media days, and then, you know, you're going into that hearing, you know, when spring football, when fall football practice, you know, when fall camp's going on. You want this to go ahead. I would think you want a resolution as quickly as possible in this deal, and dragging out 3 months to send in your response to the thing would drag it out even further, I would think.
Yeah, you're right, Logan, but here's why it's going to drag out, because not only is it about Ole Miss responding, it's about individuals who have been named in the allegations who have their own legal representation. It's about those people responding as individuals as well, if they choose to, and they have that right. And so, you know, there's that timeline to consider as well. Everybody's not in lockstep on this communication with the NCAA. Hey, folks, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about some basketball. Logan, you got a team playing for an SEC championship, and it's not the men.
It is not the men. The men have lost 5 straight and 9 out of the last 11. So I don't think Mississippi State's men's team is going to be in contention for the SEC championship or the NCAA tournament at this point, unless they just pull something out of the air at the SEC tournament in Nashville in a few weeks. But, yeah, the women have played well all season, ranked number 3 in the country overall by the Associated Press. Probably will move up to number 2 if they can finish out this week. Playing for the SEC championship tonight, at least a share of it. They can tie South Carolina if they win tonight. You know, that'd be the worst that they can finish, would be tied with South Carolina for their overall league. But they can win the league outright if they win their next two. They're playing at Kentucky tonight, which is not an easy game. Kentucky's actually won 10 straight over Mississippi State, so they've played well. Michaela Epp kind of been the thorn in Mississippi State's side over her career there at Kentucky, so it's a big game tonight, 6 o'clock. It's surprisingly not televised. Obviously, we can watch anything on the SEC Network Plus, but not going to be televised anywhere, so that's kind of surprising. Kentucky's a top 25 team as well, and that game's not on TV. And then Mississippi State closes out the regular season Sunday here at home against Tennessee, which is obviously another big matchup. That game will be televised on ESPN2 Sunday at 4 o'clock. But Mississippi State could be playing for their first overall SEC championship in women's basketball on Sunday. We'll have to see how they do tonight. But, you know, right now all they've got to do is win one out of their next two, and they win a share of the SEC championship. So, Vic Schaefer's done a lot for Mississippi State, and, you know, obviously they're in position to be a national seed in this tournament, and that's really what you want. You want to avoid being stuck in UConn's region for the tournament. And that's what happened to Mississippi State a year ago. They had a really good team and got stuck in that thing. Had to go up to Bridgeport, got beat by 50. So they want to avoid that as long as possible. So right now, Mississippi State's playing really good basketball on the women's side, and we'll have to see if that can continue.
Well, hopefully they can win out and get as far away from UConn as they can in that NCAA tournament bracket. Maybe if they meet this time, it would be in the championship game and not in the third round. The Ole Miss men, Logan, they've made their traditional run to the NCAA bubble, but I think that ended for them when they lost at Arkansas. And, I asked Andy Kennedy that question at the end of his press conference in Starkville the other night, and he just wanted to savor the Mississippi State win. He talked about how this game, it's the state game, and it should be important and it should matter. And I think some of that is lost because of what this day and age has become with March Madness, the NCAA tournament, and plus the fact that every game is televised in the regular season. I think it's lost a little bit of luster when the state teams play, if they're not playing for something other than just being the state teams. But look, you could see that it mattered to both of those teams in Starkville Tuesday night. It was not an especially well-played game. The shooting percentages and turnovers would tell you that, but it was a hard-played game. And it was a hard-played game right to the very end when Ole Miss led by 9 points with a little bit less than 3 minutes remaining, and Mississippi State just turned it on, really started attacking the rim, had some success in there with IJ Reddy, and they come back and tie the game. They got that improbable, got that jump ball and had the arrow in their possession late. You know, if they had to foul Terrence Davis there, they might not have had the opportunity to go to overtime, but they tied him up and got possession, scored, and all of a sudden our 8 o'clock tip was even later. But I think the game does matter. I don't think Ole Miss is about to play its way into the NCAA tournament. I think that hope ended when it got its 7th SEC loss. Maybe at 12-6, if you beat the right teams, you got a shot coming out of the SEC. But I don't think a 7-loss SEC team is going to get there. And that would be assuming that Ole Miss wins the rest of the way. The Rebels back in action Saturday at 2:30 against Missouri. Shifting gears again, Logan, a little baseball. Ole Miss at home this weekend against North Carolina Wilmington. The Rebels 4-0 right now after an impressive weekend with a sweep of number 10 East Carolina to open the season. And then coming out on Tuesday and really just hammering Arkansas State. And that was good from the Ole Miss perspective, not to just run up the score, but good because that's a game where quite often through the years, the Rebels have tried to work some different pitchers or have, you know, otherwise just not been very good, whether that's been lethargic or just, unfocused. You know, the Arkansas State game or a lot of non-conference games, you know, after a big series win, have been where the Rebels have just struggled a little bit. Maybe they won them, maybe they haven't. But the way they beat Arkansas State on Tuesday, to me, is a good statement of the depth of this pitching staff, and we'll just see where that is moving forward. So who do the Bulldogs have this weekend?
Well, they got another one of those round robin weekends. Second time this season they've done this. They're bringing in Indiana State and Marist this weekend. Not quite the level of competition Mississippi State had in its opening weekend when it had a ranked opponent in Texas Tech, and obviously had Western Illinois in as well. Mississippi State goes 3-1 on the weekend, beats Texas Tech and Western Illinois in a doubleheader on Sunday. Had to come from behind in both of those games. Got behind Western Illinois 5-0, and they came back and won 10-9 in 11 innings. Then they got behind Texas Tech 4-0, and ended up coming back and winning that one 8-5. So feeling pretty good about yourself. You're going 3-1 on the weekend with a ranked opponent in town. And then you play Morehead State Tuesday, and you're leading 8-3 in the top of the 19th, and you know, think you got things on cruise control. Morehead State scores 10 runs in the top of the 9th. To come back and win that ball game 13-8. So, a little bit of controversy facing Andy Canzera for the first week of getting on the job. Not be kind of mixed reviews so far. You have a big win over Texas Tech, and think things are pretty well. And then you lose to Morehead State on Tuesday night game, just completely blow the game. So he's got some explaining to do to some of the fan base of why that happened. We'll actually talk to him later on this afternoon and get his thoughts. Obviously, we're recovering basketball Tuesday night. Didn't get to talk to the coach after the ball game, so we'll have to find out what he has to say and what he has to say going into this weekend against Indiana State and Marist.
Maybe they can get Larry Bird to throw out the first pitch. Well, you think he'll come and handle that? You know, he's an Indiana State guy.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how the Sycamores baseball team are.
Hey, folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, every Wednesday and Friday, and also Prep Rally for all things high school sports with Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan every Wednesday. Logan and I will be back with you next week for Double Coverage.